This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
We are beginning day three in the final day of Black Bull 2025. I know they're going to do it all again next year because it was such a success so far here this year. And one of the people who has been making it a success was one of the performers who was on the gala on Friday night. And because today's Sunday, yeah, it's Dom Chambers. Hey, Dom, how are you?
How you doing? Good to see you again.
And you as well, because yeah. Dom, if you go back and listen or do a search in the podcast, you could find what we had.
I'm remembering now that was like deep in the pandemic. Sitting in
like
my dad's office. I was looking with my parents at the time, zooming in. Yeah, good to see you.
Well, that was a nice thing. Well, it was a nice thing back then in which that everyone had a lot more time. It's like, you got time to do a Zoom.
Oh, yeah, we had time.
Yeah, we got time.
Still do. Here we are.
So you just say you're just kind of all over the board as far as your jet lag goes. You just get in from Australia then?
I got in on Thursday night, straight off the plane, teched my show.
Yeah.
Didn't sleep that night. Had the tech for the gala the next day, did the gala.
Yeah.
Fighting my way through it. One man show tonight. But it's been like so much fun.
Yeah, you're doing A Boy in His Deck, right?
The show's called A Boy in His Deck.
Now, that's what you were doing in Australia.
I've performed it in Australia before. I've also performed it at the Edinburgh Fringe. It's the first time I've done it in about 2 years. So bringing it back just for the convention.
So how many times did you perform it when you were doing it? Like in the Fringe, I guess it was every day.
But... So it's a full month run at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Mm-hmm. So it's had its fair run. But it's a show I'm pretty proud of. I'm hoping people enjoy it.
And this is just going to be a part of the show since we only get an hour's worth of it tonight. It's not going to be a full show, I guess.
This is the full show. Basically in Fringe Festivals, 60 minutes is the kind of the time that you've got to work with. All the shows I've ever made, given I'm, you know, my kind of living on the Fringe circuit has been 60-minute shows. So you're getting the full bifter.
And they do a Fringe then in Sydney, is that right also?
Adelaide. Okay. Yeah.
Now, that's the one you're talking about, not the Fringe that was over here in Edinburgh.
I did both. Edinburgh Fringe, Adelaide Fringe.
Now, what's the difference between the two as far as your experience by being a performer? I mean...
Edinburgh is the big one, the big boy. It's unlike anything else in the world. If you're listening right now and you haven't been to Edinburgh Fringe.
I haven't been.
What are you doing? get your butt over to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. And not just for seeing magic shows. Like, there is great magic, but you'll see the best of everything and you'll come out more inspired than anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So Edinburgh Fringe is like 3,000 shows. So you're a drop in the water, like a drop in the ocean, and you are doing your best to bring audiences in. It's very expensive. You're there mainly for the experience and to see your friends. Adelaide's my home country. Yeah. It's a bit hotter, not as big, a bit more relaxed.
And you're kind of the hometown boy back there, as opposed to over in Edinburgh. You're kind of the expert. You're from out of town.
Absolutely. I had to sort of build up from scratch in Edinburgh.
Right. But, now, do you have a team with you then that for the festivals like that, that actually help sell tickets and arrange for the venue?
Sometimes. Okay. But it's self-produced.
It's just the boy in his deck.
That basically is about boy in his deck in a few hundred hours making Facebook ads and posters and all that crap.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm lucky enough to have a team doing that for me. In Edinburgh, I've had a great team. Gag Reflex are one of the great promoting teams in Edinburgh, and they've looked after me over the last few years. And they're here with me in Blackpool, actually, to help me with my show tonight.
Oh, that's nice. So you'd contact them and say, hey, I'm going to be here? Or?
Totally. Mm-hmm. So
when you were booked, did you book yourself here, or did they reach out to you, or did you reach out to them saying?
Funny enough, Russ Stevens, one of the organizers and bookers of the convention, he saw my show in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
So that's where he saw it.
Okay.
Speaking of it, so after that, he contacted me. This always clashes with the Adelaide Fringe Festival, so I'm missing the first weekend. There was always a bit of a...
Oh, is that going on right now?
It's going on right now.
Because it's summer over where you
are. Yeah. So just started this weekend, missing the first couple of days, but I had to experience Blackpool. I've heard so much about it. So, yeah.
So, A Boy in His Deck, just real quickly, is it, give us kind of a thumbnail sketch of what is to expect.
One-man show about my teenage obsession with card magic, how I tried to use card tricks to gain the approval of a stranger on the internet, and how that led me to compete at FISM, and why I did FISM, and what happened after that.
Well, what's that got to do with beer? because your act mainly has to do with beer. It seems
not
like.
A single drop of beer in this show.
There's not.
No. Oh. No, absolutely. Yes.
I thought we were going to be giving a
booze
pint
free.
If we walk in or
booze
something.
Booze free show. So. Completely sober. Well, not completely sober. No alcohol, at least. Yeah.
So non-alcoholic beer, I guess, for the most part. And
no beer, but some other surprises.
When you were doing America's Got Talent, did they have certain requirements that made you kind of rethink your act a little bit?
Do you mean making it a little bit more sort of PG, family friendly? Yep. Oh, yeah, of course. I had to pick, you know, I was looking through the catalog and it was slim pickings. God, it was hard trying to find something. But, I actually a couple of the routines just crafted for the show. Like, as you know, magic for TV is different for magic on stage.
True.
So,
true.
Yeah, I did kind of take some of my other existing routines and reworked them. Some of them were brand new. So,
yeah. I assume that you're hoping there might be a producer or somebody in the audience then who's watching your show then now who might say, hey, can you go on a tour of the UK and kind of hit the theaters? Because I know that like Jack Rhodes is going to be doing something. And Jack was just, man, he was outstanding.
Brilliant, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, keep your eye out.
So funny.
Yeah. To be honest, no, not really. I mean, have fun.
What you want.
No, I don't. I never think about that. I just want to do my show and have fun.
And see where it goes from there.
See where it goes. Yeah, yeah. I'm very happy with just performing.
So that's what your future is kind of like, whatever happens.
Yeah, whatever comes, that's fine. Do some shows, I don't know. Hopefully make some money as we do it.
Oh, and, that's always a goal.
See some friends at some magic conventions, along the way.
Well, it was good seeing you as a
Likewise.
Friend over there as well. Thanks, Tom,
hey,
very much.
Great to see you again. Appreciate it.
And
cheers.
For the Magic Word Podcast, that was Dom Chambers. Scotty out. We have just finished, a lot of stuff going on. I was just at Derek LeClaire's lecture that was pretty well packed in the arena. And right now we are kind of walking around in the main lobby area and ran across Nigel Quinn. Hello, Nigel.
Hello, sir. How are you? Good to see you, Scott.
Actually, you had...
we're in the pavilion.
Happened to catch me. And so... did you enjoy the show last evening? I mean, did you see Terry Fader?
Oh, actually, I've only just arrived. And he got here today. Okay, yeah, so. He got here this morning. So I've only literally had a whistle-stop tour around the dealer's hall. Tom Cosby's just doing his lecture. I'm going to go and see Ava Yap. Just trying to figure what else. Oh, I saw something, a coin spinning by Hypothesis Magic from Taiwan, which was really cool if you get a chance. Something very visual. But yeah, I've only been here and I bumped into you. So here we are.
Your day's complete. You might as well go
back
home.
Yeah, that's it.
Right.
All done.
So you just took a train in and out and you're not spending the night?
I just drove up for the day. I've got a busy day job. So I think one day with Room for the Magicians is quite enough. 3 days.
3 days could be a lot.
Yeah.
Particularly in this convention with a lot of magicians.
Wow, the acts they've got on this year are phenomenal.
They have been.
I know Jack Rhodes. Jack Rhodes, buddy, did an awesome show. I saw his show at Christmas, but... He's doing a tour now, but I heard that went down really, really well.
I think he was the hit of the convention. I'd never seen or heard of him before, actually. And I watched the show last evening, and it was like, I've got to keep this guy on my radar.
Yeah, check him out on Britain's Got Talent. So he placed second last year.
Yeah.
And yeah, so he's just about to go on tour. No, sorry, next year he's going on tour. But yeah, Jack's got some skills.
He really does. Very funny guy. The way that he interacts then with his big media screen men behind him and everything. And I guess he's got millions and millions of views on YouTube.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, YouTube and all the social media platforms. Right. And I think, has that guy checked his pocket yet? Has he still got something in his pocket?
Yeah, he must have had him. He did every time. I mean, that was very, very funny.
But what about you, Scott? Has anything caught your eye this weekend?
I have I don't buy too much anymore really attracts my eye, as you say. And I was, I saw Blake Voigt's lecture yesterday, and I had caught his lecture at Tricks Convention in Charlotte last year, and he was selling this particular trick, and I thought, I don't know, for £200, I really wouldn't want that. And then I thought, yeah, I do, because I could use this, it's an MC bit that, it's basically like an invisible deck kind of a thing, but not an invisible deck, which people from the audience will say high, low, black, red, or whatever, but a completely different twist, and I love it. Blake Voigt is just a great thinker. Really enjoy his lecture.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of really good lectures that people have given.
Jackie Yu, I bumped into Jackie earlier. Oh my!
Yeah,
I love Jackie. We all love Jackie.
Yep.
I think that was one of the first lectures that I saw early when I, whenever I got here.
Yeah,
it's just been chock full of just a lot of lectures and everything. So I'm sure that you feel like you've got to miss some things, and you have, because again, last evening we had the gala show, which actually called The One, which they gave like a $30,000
competition. Yes. So I'm trying to remember the fellow who won. Names escapes me.
Robin.
Yes.
I can't remember Robin's last name. I will come back to that again later. But
and tonight, is it Rick Thomas tonight?
It's Rick Thomas.
Oh, yeah. Wow. House of Illusions. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
No, hang on. No, the Mansion of
Magic. Mansion of Magic.
Yeah.
Sorry, yes.
Yes. Great show. Yeah. I worked with him years ago back in Houston at the Magic Island when he had come through.
Oh,
and then we've
okay.
gotten friends. I've seen him in Vegas. And then, of course, he's been in Branson, Missouri for a while. So I'm hoping to get a chance to chat with him, but I don't know whether I will, because I'm sure he's probably
busy
this afternoon and very busy. Exactly right. But I'm looking forward to seeing that show. And I just spoke with Dom Chambers, and he's got a show, A Boy in His Deck. So which ones you said that you're going to be going to see?
Yap's just about to do his lecture very shortly. If you're into coin,
I don't know much about him.
Singapore, he's just, phenomenal sleight of hand. So if you're into your coin magic, Avoy's your man. Yeah, I saw him lecture at the Magic Circle a couple of years ago. We got him over there. And he's phenomenal. Yeah.
Wow. And then tonight, again, you got a choice between one or the other. So after you see Rick Thomas on the gala show, what are you going to see?
I'll probably be driving home, Scott.
Oh, I guess that's
I've got a 3.5-hour drive ahead of me.
I was about to ask how far is that. Really, 3.5 hours?
Yeah. Just drive up on the day. So.
And then you got a full-time job
Magic
tomorrow.
Magic Circle on Monday. Hansen Chen's doing his lecture. Mm-hmm. I obviously didn't see his lecture this weekend, but I'm sure I'll be very good with his new products that he's got. So Quantum Key, etc. So. Hey, buddy, how's it going?
So that'll be the circle for people
Magic
who are going to be coming.
Yes. Yeah, you can sign up, actually, if you want, Magic Circle on a Monday. If you're at the convention today, you can go to their booth and you can register. If you're not a member, you can register to attend the lecture for free, because normally it's £15 on the door if you're a non-member. But tomorrow, Monday, is normally after Blackpool. They open their doors to encourage new members.
Oh, really?
So check it out.
So you don't have to necessarily show like your convention badge or anything?
No, you just have to, I think you just have to register at the booth today.
Okay, that makes sense. You're always
they're just down the just down the way there.
In front of the pavilion over there as well. Well, Nigel, thanks very much.
You're welcome,
I don't want to keep you over there. So for the Magic Board Podcast, that was Nigel Quinn. Scotty out. One of the people I'm going to be visiting with next week, whenever I get over to Ireland, is a new friend of mine, Jared Godley, who I happen to run into here. And I want to talk a little bit about the convention, because he had come last year also. I want to talk about some of the comparisons. So here he is. Hey, Jared, how are you?
Hello. Hi, Scott.
So this year's convention, how is it compared to last year, would you say?
Oh, yeah. Last year was a good year. I think this year is much better in many ways.
And what makes it better?
What makes it better is the crowd is as big, about 5,000 people. But last year there were queues for quite a number of the lectures and the events. Whereas this year they have, I think it's almost twice the number of performances and lectures and that. So as a result, we don't have the queues. You can access any lecture you want to access, which is really good. And during the time, in the evening time, you have the gala show, but there are also choices, shows, which is great.
And as far as the dealers, you think they're set up better this year? Or?
Much better, much better. There's plenty of space. Also, the fact that there are so many other activities on, it's not as packed down at the dealers, because people are coming and going. Also, some of the new, like the Circle Hall upstairs takes 900 people for a lecture, which is just fantastic. So they've opened up the whole place. It's great. Yeah.
Right. I guess that makes sense. You're going to be drawing people away in a way that's not so good for the dealers, I guess, because you have, it's not that there are fewer people. It's just that they choose different times to go and visit, because when it gets to be 4, 5, 6 people deep at a booth, it's hard to see what they're doing, let alone trying if you want to buy something.
I would imagine the dealers are happier as well, but they have an opportunity now to talk to people, dialogue, Whereas when it's too crowded, you just kind of, it's a crowd control issue rather than taking time to check things out, have a chat, explore things. Yeah, it's much better now, I think.
Right. Now, last evening's show called One was a contest, really. And the competition was really fierce. I thought all the acts were really good. I was just talking to Nigel Quinn a moment ago, and I couldn't remember what the name of the winner was, but it was Robin DeVille. And he was outstanding. But there were other acts. What do you think?
Robin DeVille deserved the winner. There is no doubt. I don't have the names. There were two other acts I really loved. All the acts were excellent.
What did they do?
The Spanish act, the two lads that did the kind of a double act at the table.
Oh, yeah. It was Ruby, and I had forgotten the other gentleman. They went by the name of Ole.
Exactly. I thought they were very skilled, very clever, very, you know, it was lovely. I loved the act, the Lincoln Card routine.
Simon Coronel.
Simon Coronel, yeah. I should know that.
Well, he won FISM with that.
It was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
And I think that may be why he didn't win the 30,000 pound, because he had already been awarded FISM. I don't know.
It's such a beautiful act.
It is beautiful. And then he also did the bill change, visible bill change right there, from a five to a...
Amazing. And the lady was right beside him, and the camera work. Of course, the whole stage setting was excellent as well. Do you know what I mean? The stage crew have done a fantastic job in there. It's just really good. Yeah, it was the Korean acts. I'm sure they were from Korea, some of the other acts. Mm-hmm. They were highly skilled with their card productions, and the ballet dancer at the end, she was beautiful as well. Not all of highly skilled, but I think the person that won deserved to win as well.
I thought it was interesting that the judges were mostly illusionists. I mean, Rick Thomas was a judge, and Cyril Takayama, and
Arturo was there as well, wasn't he?
Arturo Bacchetti.
Yeah, that's right. I think he might have appreciated the color, the quick change in the act.
So my point is, those guys are more illusionists than they judged the close-up guy as to be the one who won. So I thought it was interesting.
It is interesting. Of course, with cameras and screens, you can have a close-up act on a big stage of 3,000, an audience of 3,000. Yeah. So it works just as effectively. But it was a good competition. Very good.
There it was. For those who are wondering about why he won or what his act was about, it was kind of a Jekyll and Hyde kind of a thing, in which he would drink a blue or a red potion, and then he would change to a different character. And of course, the cards change colors and whatnot.
There was a lot in it. There was a beginning, middle, end. There was a very clear contrast, the way he did the red and
very clear.
And his personality change was so, the contrast was excellent. Do you know what I mean? He went from the petite kind of person at the beginning to kind of, you know what I mean? A loud character that was very good. It was lovely.
And then last night, although you didn't get to see the Terry Fader ventriloquist act, that was up kind of late. I think it was like 11 until 12:30. I mean, he went on for quite a while. And I'm glad he did, because he brought out a lot of characters, and he had some new characters apparently from what that he had used or does use in Las Vegas. And this was the first time he's ever been out of the country, let alone first time being in England, and first show he's ever done outside the States. And it was a great debut. And he really is great. You can see why he was professional. He was the one who had won one of the first ventriloquists, and also one of the early winners of America's Got Talent. I wanted to say the second or third year that we had that, and then went on to fame and working there at Mirage for years, and I believe it was. And he's still working in Vegas, and it was a great.
They have a good crowd.
They did have a good crowd, and they were telling everybody to, you know, because it was not a ticketed event. So as opposed to the gala where we had seat assignments, there were no seat assignments. So it was just kind of queue up and then sit wherever, and we did. And there weren't many people in the balcony. Pretty much all downstairs was mostly full. But it wasn't as full as I thought it would be, because I think, again, it was late at night. And there are a lot of older people here.
And there were other events on as well.
Yeah, that's true.
It's this crazy event here in the bar.
Well, speaking of that, I haven't attended that. Tell me about what the event.
I wasn't at it, but I've been at it other years. It's kind of late night crazy comedy characters, and it's kind of
improvisational kind of magic.
Yeah, and absolute, and audience participation, engagement, and chaos.
Okay,
it's good fun. It's good.
Yeah,
it's good fun. Yeah, it's good.
And so, what has been the trick of the convention for you, as far as the dealers go, that you might have seen or purchased or yet want to buy before they close?
Well, the trick is that paper clip trick up on the balcony there. The guy, I don't know if you saw it or have you been around the dealers, just you focus on the paper clip and it just bends and it links and it does all kinds of things, and it's just clean. It's absolutely right there in front of you. I thought it was a beautiful trick. I think it's just called paper clip or clipping or something like that. That was a beautiful trick.
And a particular lecture or somebody that you'd heard that stands out?
Oh, the lectures. Tom Crosby there. He was very good. I would need to look up the names. What I did this year, David Stone was superb. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Mike Lamar, I've seen him several times. And I just said, and there was Mark Paul I'd love to go to. But I went to names that I wasn't familiar with. I said, okay, I'll check people out that I hadn't seen.
Yeah.
So I would need to just check up the names again. Yeah. Yeah. Cody Fisher.
Yeah. He's from Austin, Texas, where I am.
I really enjoyed his lecture. Really enjoyed his lecture. Yeah. So I wouldn't have had the opportunity to go to a lecture by Cody Fisher. Mm-hmm. I'm sure like stateside, yes, but not here. So I said, let's go there.
It's kind of the opposite of me. It's just like go across town there and visit with him. And at least you'd think so. I've been trying to get together with him for a while to do an episode with him. And he's out on cruise ships. He's one of the busiest guys, you know, always around.
Lovely lecture. What's lovely as well, the dealers, all the Asian dealers and from different parts of the world. It's a lovely opportunity. They all have individual items. It's quite interesting, the whole thing.
Well, it's been a great convention. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
And also that I'm glad you liked it then also. So
great, Scott.
Yeah. Got to come back again next year. All right.
Absolutely.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Jerry Godley. This is Scotty out. So we are kind of between different things. I mean, with the dealer's room and different lectures and everything going on. And happened to run into a friend, Jamie Allen. Hey there, Jamie.
Hey, Scott. Sir? Yeah, I was so happy when I saw your name come up at the Siegfried and Roy talk. I was just saying to you that it was all the old timers in there.
Yeah, that's true.
And, all the illusionists. Remember. Yeah.
Certainly. Now, I was just talking with someone who said they're going to be directing your show. And I think it's Jonathan. Yeah,
Jonathan Goodwin did. He directed our West End show.
Yes.
We were lucky enough to do two runs in London this year, one at the Baker Street Theatre in Marylebone. And then we moved into the West End. And Jonathan was incredible. And he still is. We continue to develop that show.
So are you going to be doing that other places around the UK or traveling with that?
We our promoter was interested in touring it in the UK. I'm not particularly interested in touring a show of that scale in the UK, because Amaze started off as something that was really small that we put into the Rhapsody Theatre in Chicago, which is just a gorgeous venue, Ricardo's. And we were able to workshop this idea and we found out it has legs. And Amaze was supposed to be a show that wasn't I Magician, that me and my tech Tommy could put into the back of an SUV and play small art centers to have fun or to get it on a plane.
Yeah.
And then three productions later in the year, we're now in two tractor trailers and it's all gone crazy again, which is both wonderful and frustrating.
Yeah.
But now it's another sit down show. So it only really works in big markets. So we did it in London. It was great. And we're bringing it back to America. And we'll be back in the States in May.
Where will you be going? Where can people
see
you?
We'll be in Tampa there. And then we're sitting the show down for a residency that'll open in July.
In Tampa?
In the US, but that will be publicized in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
Will it still be the Eye Magician? I mean, you are
the Eye Magician. No, it's Amaze now. I'm no longer the Eye Magician.
Okay.
I mean, I still am, right? Because that's where it came from. It's a big part of who I am.
Exactly.
And there are elements of that still in the show.
Yeah.
But I kind of... We're following the markets with tech, and I find that tech is just so impressive at the moment, this phase.
With AI and everything.
It's so impressive that I just started to think it's not working quite as well as formulating a magic trick.
Hmm.
So we do it from a historical standpoint in Amaze, and we are certainly using it, but I'm no longer putting it front and center as the identity of the show.
Yeah.
It's more about where I came from.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think.
So it's really your story.
It is. It's a true story. And it all started when we started working with, well, with people like Jonathan. We said, well, let's just start with the truth. And we ended up finding this really compelling story that's very emotional. And I don't consider myself to be an actor, but it's hot. It's okay because I'm just telling the truth.
Right.
And it's been a very rewarding experience, and I'm enjoying it more than anything that I've done in my career so far. Isn't Blackpool great though?
Blackpool is great. I'm having a great time here. Everything has been fantastic. Jack Rhodes.
He's sensational, right?
He was my standout for me. Yeah. I'd never heard of the guy. I saw his show. It's like, I can't take my eyes off him. He was just hilarious, and it was well scripted.
No, him and Tom Wright, we've got great comedy magicians in the UK as well.
But he also did a lot of eye stuff, you know, kind of eye magic things.
I don't consider myself to be one of those comedy guys, and he, they're fantastic. Yeah. And Jack is a really great future. Mm-hmm. And again, he's very authentic. Yeah. He's very present in the room. And I think magic today with the social media, I think they want to feel that they really know you, that you're not just going through the motions and telling the same story or doing something. They want to feel they're there with you right now in this moment. And I think we're seeing a lot of that with the youth and people like Jack Rhodes, certainly.
Right. As far as the act that he has done or what he's doing right now, is kind of like his, a little bit of his life story and things that happen. And does use a lot of tech. And so I was going to ask you about the tech that you use. One of the reasons that you're not doing it so much is because it moves so quickly. And before long, it's kind of like people are realizing, oh, I mean, the magicians have to be on the leading edge. And if you're not, then you're kind of behind. They're going, oh, he must be doing this.
We're actually using more tech now.
Are you?
In a maze, but we are putting it slightly back behind the scenes.
More subtle that people don't recognize.
Okay. Here and there, yeah. I mean, I've got too much interest in tech to not do it. But, you know, I'm very excited to put it into a venue where we're in one place because I can finally get a lot of those things that are really a lot of the tech stuff, because we're starting to use a lot of tracking and things that are around the venue, and it's very difficult to tour with all this stuff.
Sure.
And we're finding more and more. But my business model has always been, because I don't live in the US and my favorite place in the world to work is the US.
Right.
And to try and come back and forth and to make those gigs actually work and so that it works as a business is difficult. So my model has always been to identify a market and sit in it for whether that be 2 weeks or a month or 6 weeks or longer.
Yeah. When we talked before, as I recall, I thought that, and we did a whole episode. I would suggest that people go back and listen to the one that Jamie and I did.
Yeah, when we were at the Hobby Center.
That's right. That I thought that you had left some of your equipment in the U.S. so this way that you don't have to ship it back.
There is actually. We still have stuff in Dallas, actually, because there's certain things on that show. Because right after we met, that COVID hit.
That's right.
Pretty much. I mean, that Christmas, it all started to go wrong.
It was 2019.
So when we closed that show, that show stayed in Houston, right where it was, for about 2 or 3 years. Because then in between, since I met you, we put up Illusionarium in Toronto and then Magic Immersive during the pandemic in Chicago. So I didn't run iMagician. And that production you saw, that was the last time we did that show.
Wow.
Because then out of the back of COVID came a maze and... Well, I needed to have a new show, right? I'd been doing that format for 8-9 years, and it was time.
But you traveled with some of the same people. I mean, like Holly England was in your show.
Holly's back in Las Vegas now. We keep in regular contact with Holly. But most of our core team is still the same.
Yeah, right.
They still can't find any better work.
Jamie, you got any openings there still? I've got to come back. So back to Blackpool then. So what have you seen here so far? I mentioned Jack. What else have you seen or like or lectures?
Well, obviously Jonathan Goodwin, but I came up to help him sell the books because he does so much for us. So that was
a really good lecture.
It was fantastic. I'm actually going to go to the Tenyo Magic lecture later.
What is that going to be?
It's at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock. Do you know what? I could spend a lot of time trying to work it out, but by the time you listen to this, it'll be too late.
Okay.
But I'm a big collector of Tenyo magic.
Is this like the Tenyo, the inventors? Or the...
No, it's a collector, but I have a passion for collecting Tenyo, I have pretty much all of it in my office. So that catches my attention.
Yeah, I know there are a lot of collectors. And didn't Richard Kaufman put together a book?
He did.
Tenyo?
Yeah, he did. And this convention for me, though, is with so many of us, is really catching up with friends.
Yeah.
And
how many years have you been coming?
I first came here when I was 13 years old.
So just about 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. When this was, when this Winter Gardens, when all the dealers were just in that horseshoe shape, yeah. There was nothing else. And it was the Sunday only.
Wow. Okay.
Convention. You'd come in through the dealers, couple of lectures, watch the show at night, and it just.
Take the train home.
Yeah. It's just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And
right.
It's crazy, right? I mean, I find it like when you can't find anything to watch on TV, that's very much like Blackpool to me. I think I can't decide what to do. There's so much to do. And at my heart, I come to watch the shows, see sure. my friends, walk around the dealers, attempting to spend a lot of money and often not finding anything that I want to buy.
Well, I'm sure you're pretty selective. I mean, you know, at a certain point in our lives that yeah. we've kind of got it all or done it all, we don't need anything. Yeah. We're very selective. It's like it might happen to be something. It's like, I have an idea.
I was with Hans Klok and we both got one thing here.
Okay.
Which was great. And I think that'll go into the show. But I won't say what it is because otherwise I'm just advertising it. Why do we want more people to do it?
That's true. Except, what did Jamie buy? I want to get one of those too. Yeah. So the evening show, did you see Terry Fader last night?
Absolutely.
Okay. I haven't talked to anyone else. I saw him and I want to hear just some other people. What you had to say about
him? I loved it.
Particularly
being
an Englishman, I guess.
Well, I went in because my partner, Natalie, she is a ventriloquist.
Oh.
So she did her show Ventriculist. In the Rhapsody Theatre, when we did the first run of Amaze, in some of the afternoons, she was doing the family show.
Yeah.
And so we've got puppets all over the house. And so she was particularly passionate to go in and watch it. And I'd never seen him in Vegas, because when I fly into Vegas, most of the time my time is going to see magic shows.
Yeah.
I thought he was great.
Yeah.
I thought he was great. It's almost unfair to class him just completely as a ventriloquist, right? Because
correct,
he's a tremendous singer and the impressions are bang on.
Yes.
So I think it's like a hybrid. And the vent, I mean, I was a few rows back, but he looks to me to be a pretty damn good ventriloquist from what I could tell.
I thought so, but there's so much else going on. It's kind of like when you would see the old Siegfried and Roy shows, like we were just mentioning earlier, about how that when Siegfried would do Dove productions, it's like, but you just made a freaking dragon appear, you know?
Yeah.
So it's in the same thing. He's got all this production value, and
yes,
he's beautiful and really
graphics
good looking.
Great.
The dummies that he's, or vent figures, you know, are great. So you're looking at them, you know, brings out a new one. This is Freddie Mercury. And so you're looking at that, you know, or Elton John or whatever,
it's
you know?
Really
so you're
well
not looking at his lips.
It's really well tied together. You can tell he's a seasoned pro.
Yeah.
But the other thing, it comes back to when somebody does a lot of shows, they can appear to be quite false. And Terry seems, again, very in the moment.
Yeah.
Something that's very important to me, that he seems very present.
I like that he asks, has a Q&A.
Yeah.
He breaks the fourth wall even
more. I didn't know how real that was at the end, because did you notice he said, I read the time wrong, and I think he thought he'd run short.
And so he just
and was
time.
Doing more of a Q&A and then rushed to get to the end, which was actually...
Yeah.
But, you know, the moment we sense anything is real in that moment. So if it's something he always says, kudos to him, because I bought it.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was a great show last evening as well. And that's why I wanted to talk with someone else, because it was up kind of late and I was surprised that there wasn't a full house like the other the gala shows were. I thought also the one was a contest they had was fantastic.
Yes, it was great. It was very exciting. But the production value is off the charts for everything they do.
Everything is.
Everything at Blackpool.
I go to conventions all over the world and I have not seen anything comparable to this. Yeah, there's got to be great kudos that are going to be going to the tech team back there, who are the sound and light guys and stage crew.
The organizers, Russ Stevens and Russ Brown and Guy Barrett. I mean, these are professionals that really understand what it is in today to put on something of this scale.
True.
And the production values are comparable with any concert or...
Yeah.
It's amazing that how well it's put together, considering the amount of turnaround of material there is in that room. And of course, we're all excited tonight to see Rick's show.
Yep. Rick Thomas is going to be a big show. Look forward to seeing that. I know he brought over a lot of stuff and I'm sure he's teching right now. I'd like to have a chance to chat with him. He's a good friend, but I know probably not going to have a chance because afterwards he's going to be unwinding.
Yes, he is.
Have you ever worked here just briefly?
Yes, we did the... We closed the gala show in 2017. Mm-hmm. It was something on my bucket list that I always wanted to do.
Yeah.
So as a kid, that meant a lot to me to be asked to do it. It was utterly terrifying. We did the best that we could.
Yeah.
And everybody seemed to like it. And I'm not sure I'd do it again in a rush, because I enjoy coming so much as a spectator.
Yeah, just the experience of having friends. And
putting that... Well, I mean... my partner and I, we say this is like Christmas. So Blackpool's coming, it's Christmas. And right. I think that only gets ruined by having to do something when you get here. But never say never, right?
That's true. So for the Magic Word Podcast, thank you very much. That Thanks. Was Jamie Allen.
Got it, yeah.
We're in the dealer's room then right now upstairs on the balcony amongst all the hundreds of people who are dealers who are here. But one that I really recommend, that I really like, and I have purchased from in the past is Pelican Stageware. And Javed is the proprietor here, and he's got, I'm here right now with him. How are you doing, Javed?
Hi. US, we look forward to come to see you, but one day we'll try.
Hopefully someday you can. Yeah. You've never been to a convention, magic convention in the US, have you?
We have never been to. We've been offered a great opportunity in Las Vegas one, a number of occasions. I think the organizer really, really proposed to come down. But I think we were too busy in Europe at that time, so we didn't have much time. But yeah. We will definitely consider in somewhere in your future.
And for those who are listening saying, well, there are so many other dealers, why would I, Scott Wells, be recommending, why should you come over? And I'm saying because you have a unique line of clothing that I can't find anyplace else in the world. I mean, even in the U.S., I have been to Nashville and Las Vegas. Let me just say, if you're looking for something kind of sparkly, something to stand out, it doesn't matter stage, close-up, or whatever, if you're looking for jackets or shirts, pants, or whatever, you want something that's going to be over the top or something that's just subtle with some light glitter or touches, he's got it all. And it's got off-the-rack stuff that will fit you, but you do custom work, I guess, then, too?
We don't do custom because okay. It's very, very expensive to do custom graphic stuff. But what we do is a ready-made of particular sizes. Mm-hmm. From size, from US, I would probably go from 38 to somewhere like 60.
That was just for
mm-hmm. And you've been coming to Blackpool for how many years, then?
We've been coming to Blackpool for 28 years now.
It's about when I was going to say, I think it was back in 2003 or something, whenever I had bought from you once.
Yeah, we'll be doing a convention in Magic in Italy, the France convention, the Spain convention, mainly all European convention we did.
Yeah. Now, if FISM is going to, FISM is going to be this year in tour in Italy. Are you going to be
in Italy,
there?
Yes. So we won't be going to FISM this year because we occupied to go to showcase in Asia. So mm-hmm. The data clashing, so it's going to be impossible.
Right. Let me also say that if you want to see what I'm talking about in some of the fashions, the website over here is pelicanstagewear.com. So be sure to check that out. It is some awesome stuff. And after I'd sent you a picture of me, that you had that on the website.
Yeah,
while.
Definitely. Yeah. And he's as handsome as ever, young man as ever.
There we go. So that was some decades ago. It's nice, Jeffy. You have a good assortment of shirts and everything. Obviously, you say you've been coming for so many years, so you're doing well. How is this year different from previous years?
I think we have no regular customers come from Europe, and they know exactly what we have, and they're determined to come down first. As soon as a Friday morning when the show starts, they actually pile up, especially the dealers, and it's something new because all our products are unique. We don't repeat the same stuff again, and we only make small quantities. So when the artist, whether it's a magician, whether it's a musician, or it's an actor or whatever, when they go on the stage, they wear something, and they're proud, and it's a unique. They're not going to see anybody else wearing it.
Right. Yeah, it's unique. No one else is going to be wearing it.
Blackpool has been, I can't say this year or last year, but it's always the same for us. Blackpool is one of the best conventions we actually go to.
So it's pretty steady as far as the business. You can always do, can do well here.
Well, only time we had a big problem is after COVID.
Oh, well, of course.
Yeah, that's the only time. Apart from the touch wood, all good.
But I was just thinking that you have more magicians here this year than last year. I think what they said, over 4,000 magicians or whatever. But there are also a lot of other activities that keep people from being in the dealer's room because they're choosing to go to a lecture or whatever. So, which I think in a way is kind of good because it gives people time to kind of take more time at the booth, because whenever they're not seeing then they could be here. So it's not like two or three people deep, and trying to get through to see something, So I'm sure it's been good.
It's been absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Magic Convention is I'll tell you what, it's not only about selling the product, it's getting to know the people, the magicians,
sure,
and different personality and different type of people from different parts of the world. And that's the most beauty part of the convention. Mm-hmm. Because you're selling the product, but also you're making a lot of friendship. Like Scott Wells, I've met him once, twice. He bought it from Starbucks, yeah, but he left a lifetime impression and lovely photos sent us by email. So you always remember people like him.
Ah, well, thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you. Well, I'm glad you're doing well. I'm glad that to see that. I mean, it doesn't look like you've aged a bit, you know, at all. You stayed pretty much the same and handsome. Yeah. And I'm glad you're doing well and enjoying the convention. You don't get a chance to see any of the shows either because you're behind the booth. Do you see the night shows, the evening shows?
No, it won't be the night show because what happened, we'd be actually going to London today.
Yep.
We'd be leaving off today. And then obviously we got a few other conventions, a showcase to attend from Tuesday, Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So we do convention, we do showcase. And we also meet a lot of actors and actresses, agents as well. Mm-hmm. So we have a specific appointment that like, when they're doing a film, certain film, they want certain clothing. So the agents actually make a special appointment with us. So they had to give us some form of ideas, what sort of clothing they are. So we try to prepare that for them, mm-hmm, as well. So we got various activities going on at the moment.
Right, right. Well, listen, good seeing you as well. Glad that things are going well for you. It's really a great convention. And I'll see you then in future years too.
Oh, I think absolutely.
Good luck. This is, so for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Pelican Stagewear. That was Javed Scotty out.
Thank you very much.
This year, from March 6th, 7th, and 8th in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, we will be having the Winter Carnival of Magic, and that's going to be pretty exciting. And I've got with me right now the chief cook and bottle washer, the organizer, and the big guy himself. Here he is, Mr. Tom Vorjan. Hey there, Tom.
Hey, Scott, how are you doing?
I'm fine, Chief. So tell me about what all that you got planned. What's going to be happening each of these Thursday, Friday, Saturdays?
I'm going to give you the it's phenomenal what we've planned. It is our 50th, and it's going to be the final Winter Carnival of Magic. Go to www.wintercarnivalofmagic.com for all the information. But let me just read to you. We pulled out the stops. So usually we have 10, 12 dealers. This year we got 20. Usually I have 10, 12 acts. This year I've got 20. So listen to this list. Jeff Williams, Michael Trix, Dan Sperry, John Archer, John Allen from the UK as well, R. Paul Wilson, Steve Beam, Stephen Bergazzi, Chris Capehart, David Da Vinci's driving in from Iowa to do his illusions and close Saturday night shows. Jeff Hobson's coming in for one day only. That's Thursday. Eric Tate will be there. I just love it. Eric, great friend. Don Bursell, Ken Scott, Matt Stanley, and Tiffany Allen, a.k.a. Tiffany Savage, will be doing her lecture on the new Georgia Wonder. That's the talent, Scott. That's the talent. We've got literally four shows, a close-up show, Thursday night show, a Friday night show, a Saturday night show. Terry Evanswood is doing a separate pay event, so he's the fifth show if you count him. Five shows, 3 days of contest. Where we've quintupled the prizes, $500 for first place, trophies for first and second, plus a big People's Choice Award with a cash prize of $250. How's that?
That sounds great. The only thing that you're missing, if you can slide me in there somewhere, that'd be
Scott,
great.
You're going to be the MC of the Saturday night show.
I'm what?
Don't surprise. you are going to be the last MC of the last show of the Winter Carnival of Magic. How's that?
Save the best for last. That's going to be good.
We did.
Well, sounds like a great convention. I'm looking forward certainly to being there and to helping make this memorable for and legendary for all the attendees. So again, go check out the wintercarnivalofmagic.com for more information. Well, a lot of activity is happening as the dealers will soon be, I guess, starting to lock up. I don't know if the dealers over here close as early as they do. It seems like in the U.S., but in the U.S., when it's like the last afternoon, they start to shut down. And it's now getting on about 1 o'clock. And at, is that right? About 1 o'clock?
I think.
And
at close to 1.
And at 1:30 is going to be Ben Seibold lecture, which I heard yesterday. And I'm here with my friend Ron Spangler from Columbus, Ohio. And he is going to be going to Ben's lecture. You're in for a treat. It's really got some good stuff, good thinking, good philosophy. Hello, Ron.
Hi. Good to see you. Glad you see you out and about after your health.
All my health issues. Yes. Thank you very much. It is good to be out there too. So what have you seen so far that you have really bought?
Well, yeah, buying. I've just bought some refills on stuff. Stuff that's worn out that I'm doing some shows now. So stuff starts wearing out and I need to refill. So I've gotten that. Try to get some lecture notes from the lecture. That's the more unique stuff.
Right.
So I've done that. Enjoyed seeing Cody Fisher. I hadn't seen him for, 15 years or so. And, you know, stand-up performer. And just everything. It's so hard to see everything, right?
Well, you've been coming to Black Bull. This is your second year?
This is my third, I believe.
Third year, okay.
I came 4 years ago, right after COVID, and then skipped the next year. And then I missed it. I was like, I got to get back in. So
when did you retire?
And I have not retired.
Okay.
So that's the thing, yeah. I'm still working that day job, yeah.
Well, for those of you who don't know Ron, that he was the one of the red coats way back when, and then Jeff Hostetter used to handle it, and then you took over as the president then locally for a while until pretty much all the members said, I think we're done, and then eventually kind of went fallow for a while before Josh and Andy took it over.
Right. Yeah, I think they jumped right in, and we didn't miss a year. You know,
is that right?
They had to have a kind of reduced convention, but they jumped in and got it going. And,
yeah.
Of course, they're doing a great job.
Revamped it completely.
Oh, yeah. They've reimagined it, and the youth program's just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really good.
Yep. And so you've been involved with that since the beginning and continue to be. I mean, but you're not involved with the convention.
No. I just attend, which is great. Yeah. I don't have to worry about a snowstorm coming through or telling people where the bathrooms are or, you know, the lectures are running late. I don't have to worry about that kind of stuff.
Well, back then, I thought that was a cool idea that all of your club wore the same red jacket. So if you see a red coat, you know to ask some questions.
Yeah, that's right.
So as far as other things here that you have seen, did you see Terry Fader's show last evening?
Oh, yeah. For Terry Fader. Oh, it was just fantastic. What'd you think? Oh, it was fantastic. Just fantastic.
Worth the price of the admission.
Absolutely. And I was surprised that there were some open seats. You know, the queues, depending where you're from, were just massive to get in. I saw some open seats. I think there may be some folks that didn't really know what they were going to be in for and missed it.
That's a good point, because he was an American, or is an American, and this is the first time he's ever been, he said, overseas, let alone England.
Yeah.
And so his first English performance, as well as anywhere over here. So you're right. I hadn't thought about that. They may not think, I don't know who he is. He's just another event, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, they've got Britain Got Talent over here, and they've got winners, but he was just phenomenal in the production value, I thought, with the lighting and the backdrop and the screens and interaction.
That's the thing. I think the tech here is just unbelievable,
isn't it?
And I think about Terry coming in, I don't understand it all. Like, does some guy come in and got the program and runs the screens? Because they have those special screens. And I mean, it's just like, it's flawless. It's like, you know, you're sitting in his showroom.
I'm looking forward to seeing Rick Thomas' show tonight too, because he's going to be bringing in a lot of illusions. I've seen his show in Branson a few times, as well as, of course, when he was in Vegas a long time ago. And I worked with him in a smaller venue when he was at the Island back in the 80s. But he has brought, apparently, a lot of his big illusions.
Oh, wow.
And so he's going to be transforming this, I guess, into his mansion of magic, or magic mansion, or whatever it is that he has, you know, that's there. So I think people are going to be in for a treat tonight. Their jaws are going to drop.
I've never seen Rick. I've heard about him, but I've never seen him. So I'm looking forward to it.
He has a very different personality.
Yeah.
From the standpoint on stage, he is more relaxed. I would say he's more like a Blackstone type of a performer, where he would be more slow, as opposed to being frenetic and running around the stage or anything like that.
Yeah.
He leaves that to his assistants, I think, you know, and he will kind of point to things. He does beautiful dove work, even though he doesn't like birds, he says.
Yeah.
And his illusions are, you know, tell stories. It's not just in and out. It's not just like 3 minutes. He makes into a very entertaining 7 or 8 minute act. It's just, very good. So I think
forward to it. And that's the thing I find about Black Bull is you see people that you just normally wouldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Terry Fader. I've been out to Las Vegas for Magic Live, and I've just never taken time to go see his show.
Right.
I'm to Black Bull, and here he is. and Rick, you know, same. I just never had a chance to see him. And so that's what I enjoy about Black Bulls.
Yeah, that's true. Has there been someone that you have not seen or heard of before that's attracted your attention?
You know, and I can't remember the guy's name, the runner-up for Britain's Got Talent. And I'm sorry, I can't come up with
Jack
his
Rhodes.
Name. Yeah, Jack Rhodes.
He was awesome.
Oh, man. And again, talk about tech. Just the way he combines his magic with tech, you know, his own tech that he brings in and he's interacting with it, it's just fantastic.
Yeah. Now, on this podcast, we've talked about him a lot. Yeah. I hope I could run into him. I'd like to chat with him briefly. But I thought he was the highlight of the convention.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, Ron, always good seeing you.
Good to see you.
And I hope you continue to enjoy the rest of the day and have
all
a
right.
safe trip
all
home.
Right. Same to you.
We'll see you next time. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Ron Spangler. Scotty out. We have just finished, one of the evening stage show galas, an opposite of other kinds of things that are going on. I went to see Dom Chambers' show, which was I thought it was very funny. Got a standing ovation at the end.
Did.
And talking about someone who is funny and from out of town, because he was way out of town. Dom's from Australia.
Yes.
And I've got with me Eric LeClaire, who is from Canada, who is the great state of Canada.
That's right. Yes, exactly. Soon to be 56th state.
And he was MC last night, and then also gave two lectures today, or one yesterday?
That's right, two lectures today. Went really well, sold out of everything, made some new friends, and the people here are, we just love magic. Everybody's here. They would just love to see. We have a common interest. Everybody's just nerdy, loves magic, and we all have different, one thing like kind of binding us together, you know?
Yeah, well, that's very true.
Yeah.
It is that love of magic. When you came, or when you were considering that, I guess, did somebody approach you and say, hey, I think you'd be great for an MC, or we want you to perform, or was it always the MC, or did you come to them, or how'd this come about?
I was actually doing the Trix convention in Stoke-on-Trent, which is a children's entertainers convention.
Oh.
And Russ Brown approached me, and he said, I think it would be a good job as compare. And I'm like, what's a compare? He's like, an MC. I'm like, oh, I could definitely do that.
Yeah.
He's like, we want somebody with a little bit of an edge. We had Mike Hammer last year, did great. We thought I think you'd do great. I agreed. And fast forward to, I followed up with him.
Yeah.
And then now we're here. The galas are done. It's something I've been looking forward to over the last 6 months. When you think you're going to host the biggest competition in magic, the 30,000 pound prize pool, that's like $42,000 for first prize.
Right.
So for the last 4 or 5 months, I've had this. Every magician at the convention was going to be there. Two shows, 2,500 people a show. So you're like, oh, wow, everybody's going to see me, right?
Right.
So it was nerve wracking leading up to it. I came very prepared, or so I thought. but the humor here was something to, you saw it was, I'm a funny person on stage. I'm a competent MC, but I was really thrown a curveball with the British humor,
right?
And the general age of the people, not knowing the new names in magic and the jokes and stuff. But I think it was fun. I think people enjoyed themselves. I'm getting lots of compliments. Of course, we have the Facebook internet keyboard warriors.
I read some of those.
Going wild.
Wow.
But it's like on YouTube. You always have people, thousands of people who love it, but you'll always focus on the five people who write.
Of course you do.
Of course. Yeah. It's in our blood.
But this isn't something that you're going to be repeating necessarily. It's kind of like, I can't take your criticism as something. It's like, okay, tomorrow night I'll do that differently. Because when you got a show that's in residency, that's one thing. But when you're doing a one-off, it's like you're one and done. And I'm sorry, you liked it, you didn't.
Well, I had two chances yesterday.
Well,
and I'll tell you something. If I would have went on the Facebook group and seen those three bitter people talking the way they did, I don't think I would have changed it. I came in, I created these eight interventions between the eight acts specifically for magicians from 30 to 70 years old, and it was for them. So I wouldn't have changed a thing. I had fun. A lot of people had fun. You just have to have fun on stage, I think I did a good job.
You said that earlier that you had watched a little bit of Mike Hammer, but did you call and talk to him?
I did. Okay. I did. Yeah, I did. Because Mike told me that he was not prepared for how long some of the in between the acts was going to be on stage.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of forced there. He didn't do any material. He just did stand up. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, I'm going to prepare a couple magic tricks, a couple bits. I did magic trivia.
He did. It was funny.
Yeah, it was fun. So, and then I watched, they sent me the footage and I watched it in horror. Some of the acts took 7 minutes between the acts, and like times eight, that's an hour's worth of material. That's a lot.
So you're carrying the show, basically.
Yeah. So what I did is I set my boundaries with the people. I said, listen, we need to make this move fast backstage between the acts. No dilly dally, no stalling. We need for it to be go, 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 go. And as MC, you're running the thing. It's your job to make, when that green light comes on and they're ready, that means you go, go, go. So I kind of took it upon myself to kind of be a little bit of a boss and tell the stage crew, guys, we need to speed this up on stage. We need to, for it to go. And it worked. It worked. They were diligent in doing it. I think it was nice. It was a tight show. Everybody had fun. And I'd like another crack at it. I asked them for another crack at it in a couple of years.
I think the guys who were the tech people were just on the ball as far as the lighting and sound and everybody else. That was one of the highlights, I think, you know, then also.
Yeah. Well, you saw the opening. You saw the opening with the 21 showgirls and the cabinet of polygamy.
Yeah. That's funny. Did you come up with that?
I came up with that.
I loved it.
They called me and they said, do you want to do your entrance appearing in a cabinet with 21 showgirls? And I said, let me think. Yes. but it was great. Yeah, the lights, the sound. It's a top-notch production. The guy who runs it, Russ Stevens, runs British Got Talent. Britain's Got Talent. So he's used to like seeing the vision and seeing the whole stage, you know, craft. And he was great. It's a really professional team. The whole crew, everybody, organizers are amazing.
Yeah, the opening was amazing. I mean, I was okay. There's a half dozen girls and then there was 15 girls. And it's like,
there were 21 girls and me in there.
How long were you in there?
We were in there for about 2 minutes.
Okay.
But I mean,
they loaded you in pretty quick before.
Yeah, okay. But there's a lot of people in there, right? And with the dancers, and most of them are babies.
Yeah.
And it was fun. It was the chatter was very, very fun inside the box. I was the only guy in there. So it was kind of, you know, I had rehearsals. I was kind of like, you know, taking it slow and being, and then by the time we rehearsed the thing like 10 times. Mm-hmm. So by the 12th time, we're cracking jokes in the box and who farted. And it was great. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought it was funny. Also, is that your idea as far as your clothing being torn?
It is. It is. Yeah, yeah. They wanted an idea of a video of us starting in Canada. There's a bunch of snow. They really like that part. Yeah. So we filmed a whole bunch of stuff. And then, getting ready and the plane coming down. And I'm like, oh, it'd be funny if my clothes were ripped. So I took an old suit I had and a shirt that couldn't be mistaken. It was a very flashy shirt.
Yeah.
And then I said, I can rip this. I can spare the suit. So I got dressed within the video. And then right before the performance, we ripped it to shreds and my nipple was out. Yeah. And am I allowed to say nipple?
Yeah.
Okay. My nipple was out. And I think it turned out to be an amazing... Oh my God, look at that dog. Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Turned out to be an amazing...
It's Rick's dog.
Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, he's going in the show?
Yeah, he has it in the show. Well, I'm sure he does. But he does in Branson. So I'm sure that's what they're getting ready for.
Amazing.
So we haven't missed anything yet, I guess. Things being delayed for the gala here as well. Okay, going back to the rest of the show, as far as how it's been good for you, as far as the lecture and that show, what about your experience with Blackpool in general, as far as the dealers and all the rest of his experience? And,
yeah.
Have you been here before?
I've been here before. It's my third time. Yeah. My experience with the whole convention has been way better because we're staying at the Holiday Inn this time.
Oh, much nicer.
Yeah, and usually when you come to Blackpool, you stay in a dingy, give me like 2 minutes, you stay in like a dingy hotel and everything, and the food. Now we have free breakfast, continental breakfast, and the beds are nice. The room is nice. We have hot water.
Yeah, that's a plus. And heat.
What's that? And heat. Yeah, it's amazing. So another little kind of fun thing is I came in saying, you know, I'm going to watch my spending. You know, it's not it wasn't a good month for me, credit card, whatever. It was a little expensive month. I get here and then my credit card doesn't work. So I'm like, perfect. And then one dealer is like, oh, we accept PayPal. And I'm like, oh, I think I have PayPal. I log on to PayPal and I find that I have $7,000 in there that I've forgotten like years and years ago. So that was free money.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good. Thanks very much.
My
good
pleasure,
chatting
Scott.
With you. I hope that you, I'm glad you had a good experience.
Thank you so much.
I think everybody else did too. It's been fantastic.
Yeah.
From the Magic Word Podcast. That was Eric.
I love it.
Wait a minute. Wow. A lot of noise over here. That was Eric McClure. This is Scotty out.
Thanks, Scott. Thank you.
My mate, one of my many friends from Scotland is here. Then all the way back from Edinburgh, he came by train yesterday and heading out tomorrow. But when I was talking with Peter McClonigan, he thought he was just coming in for the day. But I'm glad that you have had a chance to actually experience a little bit more of the convention here today. And that's Ian Kendall. Hi there, Ian.
Hello, Scotty. Good to see you again. Always a pleasure.
I've been looking also then for Richard Wiseman. I haven't seen him. Has he been around?
I don't know if Richard's down here. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Peter's here. Peter Lamont's here, but I've not seen Richard.
Yeah. Okay. Somebody said I thought that Richard was going to be coming. Well, anyhow, I hadn't seen him, but I get to see you, which is an advantage. So I'm so glad that because I've been thinking about you, and as I was having some crisps the other day. I was having some Walkers. And I was thinking about our podcast that we had talked at length about that. And so anyhow,
you talk about anything except magic in this podcast.
Pretty much. This is the non-magic
podcast. I'm the amuse-bouche of the Magic Words podcast. Well, talk about any kind of rubbish.
So what have you, going to magic, what have you enjoyed so far today? You say you saw a couple of lectures.
But... Yeah, I saw Tom Crosby, the performing nerd. It was a great, because he wasn't teaching really stuff. He was just talking about show structure and character and all the stuff he does well. So that was great. And I saw Ben Seidman, who is somebody I originally met in the Genie Bash in 19. You remember he did his show then and in live a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I like Ben, like his stuff. So
very creative, very good performer. Yeah.
He did his a couple of sort of involved routines and a couple of sort of more mentalist type things. But that was enjoyable. And to be fair, I rarely go to lectures and conventions. It's more of a social thing for me. And also, I find myself nodding off. I am of that age now where I no longer have the energy to sit and look attentive for 55 minutes.
That's why it's good to sit in the back. Let me give you a little tip there.
It is.
So the guys who are there, because usually you know them.
Yeah. I did. Mayor Yedditz was here a while back, and he was having a lecture, and he wasn't enjoying it. You could just tell he wasn't enjoying it. And I made a point of making eye contact and smiling the entire way. And he told me after the fact that any time he was just feeling bad, he would look over, see me smile, and then go back into it. So that was – I do have a use. I have a purpose in magic.
I was wondering what that was. But I remember many years ago coming into England, and we came in on a Monday and went straight to the Magic Circle, and Tommy Wonder was lecturing in the Devant Room. And I sat like the third row back, and I nodded off, and I remember looking up and at one point, and he was staring right at me and not saying anything. And I realized I need to listen to this. I mean, I had a good excuse. I was really
jet-lagged. I mean, come on.
Yeah, exactly. Give me a break.
Bobby Bernard.
But he didn't know that.
Bobby, I used to have lessons from Bobby back in the 80s, and he was famous for sitting in the front row and snoring. And there's a story that Paul Daniels told me, because Robert De Niro told me not to name drop, but we can here. Bobby came to a taping of the Paul Daniels show, and he fell asleep and was snoring, and they had to stop the record. They had to stop the
it
filming.
It was that loud.
And Paul went, "I'm really sorry, but my friend's story," and went and kicked his feet. And Bobby's like, "No, no." And then they carried on with the show. I don't want to be that person, but the thing, I don't know if you remember, this is your fault, by the way. We've talked about this. In the first Genie Bash, when, oh dear, Scotty has an idea for having somebody do lectures at 8 o'clock in the morning.
That was me.
Which I did. And so I was really tired, and I went to John Carney's lecture.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in the back, but I was spark out from 10 minutes in. Sorry, John. But I was just out. And at that point, I thought, if I'm that sleepy, I probably shouldn't be.
And it was such a good idea. They put you in that slot at the SAM conventions, I recall.
And I've done the two Genie Bashes. So the breakfast lectures is now my brand, and I hate you for it. Ridiculous.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And so things that the magicians will soon be thankful for is a new book that you got coming out. Then also tell me about. I've talked to a bunch of dealers about some of the hot stuff they've got, and you got something great coming out.
It came out actually last November. It's called Taking the Step, and it's a guide. Ostensibly for moving from close-up magic to stage magic, but it's really a manual on-stage performance from the point of view of somebody who is already a performer, already has you're not going to get the shakes in close-up, and how to develop a show, stagecraft, blocking, all that stuff. It's the book version of the video course I put out 8 or 9 years ago.
Okay. And it's available from where?
Virtualmagicshow.com.
All right.
And it's a print-on-demand book through Lulu. So basically, if you are in the U.S., for example, you pay U.S. postage.
Yeah, you don't have to print foreign postage. That's an excellent idea.
So it's a cheap way to get the book out.
That is a good idea. Now, I know that's got to be kind of a popular thing, and that is to move from close-up to parlor or stand-up, and some lectures have been like that, and I know John Armstrong
yes.
has really been talking about that, and there was someone else I just recently heard at a lecture. John Graham was talking about that then, too. So it's gotten to be more popular, and I think that makes sense because the avenue, I guess, to get into magic has been through playing cards. And so a lot of it, because it's a cheap way of getting in. And then once you get your confidence in doing close-up and doing card work and everything, the next thing is to do for more people. Because when you're doing it for your mates or you're doing it maybe just in a restaurant at a table or maybe a cocktail party, before long, there are 6 or 8 or 10 people and you feel kind of comfortable, I guess. Yeah. So that way it's like, well, I can do this for 20 or 100 people or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of, and once you have that confidence, then that's a good point.
One of the things, so taking the step, like again, I think I did it in 2015, I think it came out, maybe around about then. That was the first real course on going, doing the close up to the stage.
Yeah.
There have been several since then. But one of the things I talk about is there is a lot of stuff in close-up that translates to stage, but there's a lot of stuff that doesn't. And the one thing that people don't like when it comes to that making that transition is I can say confidently that 80 to 85%, if you like made-up statistics, of your close-up repertoire will not work on stage. It just won't. And so
because
you
have visual.
There's a whole bunch of reasons, but you have to think of stage as a different environment. You can't really do stuff on a table because anything over 10, 15 feet away, people can't see.
Right.
Playing cards from more than 10, 15 feet they stop being identifiable items and they become discrete objects. So you can do, that means you're not looking at the six of clubs, but you're looking at a card, so you can count cards. So things like cards across, very popular. Six card repeat, very popular, that kind of thing. But holding a card up in a theater, I mean, if you let's say you're in a 100-seat room, then the back row will be sort of where that door is, which is, what, 20 feet away from us. And it's not easy to see a card from that distance. If you're in a small theater, you're to a 250-seat room, then all of a sudden that back row is 35 meters, 100 feet away.
You could say any card you want.
Yeah. And then if you're in a ship, you know, if you're in a 1,000-seat room in a ship, the back row is 50 meters away.
Right.
60 meters away, which is 180 feet. So cards, people go on and say, I will do card tricks on stage. No, you won't. Well, you can.
Unless you do manipulation.
But then they are discrete objects. They're not identifiable objects.
Good point. Yeah.
So this is the kind of thing that you have to, and I made that mistake as well. I did 20 years of working 100-seat rooms, and I went to my first ship, which is it was only a 350-seat room, but I realized sort of 15 minutes into the show that this material is not suitable. I need to think again. But this is all stuff that the book is essentially 30 years of experience distilled into 300 pages.
And what's it called again?
Taking the Step.
Taking the Step. Well, there you go. And the website again where people can go to get that?
virtualmagicshow.com. But it will direct you to Lulu.
Well, I would highly recommend that you go and check that out. And it's, I'm sure, reasonably priced. And since you don't have to pay for a foreign postage, that's another plus altogether there and then too. So today, when you're walking around the dealer's room, did you buy anything?
I bought nothing. Because I am what Roy Walton's group and Bobby Bernard and Jack Avitz used to be, and Alex Elmsley were called the dealer's graveyard, but not for their reason. I have now reached the age, the ripe old age of very old for a Scotsman, where I can look at something and go, I will never use that. I will never do that. Because for close-up, most of my work now is stage. And I have my repertoire for stage. And very little stage stuff is sold here. It's all... I mean,
it's all geared toward the close-up people. That's true.
This sounds like such a down thing, and I don't mean that. But hobbyists, which make up 80% of our world, the kind of people that want something new to show their buddies down the bar, and that's fine, and I love that. And so people will buy their stuff, and they'll have the new toys, and next year they'll buy the new toys, and the new toys, and the new toys. I don't like electronics in magic, so... 90% of current mentalism. I don't know mentalism anyway, but I'm not. There's a lot of really clever stuff, Scotty.
There
like really clever stuff.
Yeah.
Not for me. I don't need more card tricks. I don't need more. Oh, I've just realized I meant to get some rope. I didn't. Damn it. Anyway. So the one thing I wanted to get, I didn't get. Damn it.
Sometimes you need backup for something, you know.
I need to
particularly, like you said, rope. You know, you got to be needing rope all the time. So I used to buy that by the roll, you know.
I've never bought a roll. I'll buy a hank at a time, which is 10 meters. And I use 3 meters each show. Hmm. So if I buy a hank, that does me 3 shows.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's there are the consumables that you need.
And we're getting ready right now. As a matter of fact, we probably ought to go to try to queue up for the show in the gala show in the Opera House there with Rick Thomas. But what did you see? Or did you see another show?
I don't. Before this? I went to see Dom Chambers.
That's what I went to see, Dom.
Which was interesting. It was. It reminded me very much of a fringe show. That attitude. It is very much a case of the next generation. Because and when I, you know, 30 years ago, I was working in jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Now I wear a suit.
Well, he's 43 years old, and I talked with him earlier, and he said he had taken that to the fringe, not only there, but also, I guess, in Australia. So,
yeah.
But of course, he has been over to Edinburgh. So it's very much like that, what you say.
Yeah. It is I'm not sure I'm the demographic for the show.
It's edgy. I think it's for a younger...
It's edgy. I mean, I'm not offended. I'm not the... I don't get offended by anything, but can understand... I know the different audiences.
For my corporate audiences, that wouldn't be something...
No, I don't think calling Simon Coronel a traitress would go down well.
Right.
But, you know, the reactions were very positive. He had a full room. That's a 900-seater.
And he got a standing ovation.
I'd left by then.
Okay.
Sorry. I had to get out.
Yeah. But a good show. I thought it was. And again, yeah, kind of had to choose between that and something else. And there are a couple other things that were going on. So this overall has been really, I think, a great convention from the standpoint that we've got a lot of magicians. And also with the number of entertainers, which is more than usual, then you've got more choices, which means there is more room in each of the rooms, so you're not packed.
One thing I noticed this year, last year, I don't remember this, they really knuckled down on the venue capacities.
Yeah, if it was full, then...
Yeah, so a lot of people we couldn't get in. There's a lot of grumbling online about, you know, I've paid for the ticket, I can't get into lecture. What I quite like is certain of the name lecturers are doing the lectures twice.
Correct.
So although I missed Ben yesterday, I got to see him today.
Yeah. It was packed house yesterday. And so, yeah, I'm sure that today's was equally full.
Yeah.
And same thing, Mike Amar, David Stone, they were over in the foyer hall or someplace, I believe, in which it was like an 800-seat thing that was packed, you know, both times as well. Well, we need to bail. We need to go get in line.
You got to go and see the show.
I got to see Rick Thomas.
I don't fit in the gala. For those of you who don't know me, I'm 6'4". And trying to fit me into that theater.
No one would want to sit behind you either.
No, I can't fit in. I'm just, okay. It's painful. Anyway, Scotty, always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. That was Ian Kendall. This is Scotty out. Wow. Well, what a convention this has been. This has been just full of top talent, top friends, top dealers, and low temperature weather outside, but inside it was warm, and as was the hospitality of the organizers and all of the registrants alike, and everybody came to have a good time, and I think it was mission accomplished in that regard. This evening, I would just finish up with the evening gala show that featured Rick Thomas. That was a fantastic show. Rick Thomas got a well-deserved standing ovation for his show. He brought a lot of illusions to the table this year, I should say actually to the stage this year, all the way from Branson, Missouri. It was fantastic. I've seen his show there a few times and have enjoyed it. And it was pretty much the same show. And I say pretty much because he usually opens with doves and he did not bring over his doves. And I'm sure that had probably something to do with animals being quarantined once they come into the country. And so anyhow, he did have his dog with him, a large Pyrenees, kind of a white sled dog kind of dog. Anyhow, he had shown a video of his dove routine And I was talking with someone who had said they felt like that was a negative thing. It was like, well, why'd you waste 3 minutes showing us your bird routine? And my reply really to that is, I think it was more than just the bird routine. He was trying to give you the sense of his mansion of dreams and the size of that in Branson. So when you come to Branson, you'd have a better idea kind of what the size looks like. And then he did the dove routine as well. That was part of the video that he showed. But it was something that he didn't do over here, again, because he didn't have his doves, but he did a lot of other illusions and big stuff then as well as the troop. I think he had, about six people, I believe, it looked like, who assisted him. That was very good. Of course, at the end, with the double levitation that he had, it just everybody came to their feet. So just a rousing standing ovation was given. And then afterwards, signing autographs and everything out in the lobby, and probably was still going to be there until 1 a.m. There was a long queue to visit with him. And then later this evening is going to be the Zach Murs show is going to be repeated from last evening. I think it's going to be like 11:30 to 12:30. And simultaneous is called the Not the Gala show that's in the old Vic bar. And I've decided just to come back to the room and put this podcast to bed, and myself too, after the last few days. Because last evening, after I put that podcast for day number two to bed, I went back over to the Ruskin to visit with some of my mates. And in particular, got to visit with Ivor Smith and Jeff Burns, who were the two fellows that were on last week's episode that talked about their training, the magic that they do as trainers for corporations. And so I had a chance to sit down and chat with them and have a late nightcap there to Ruskin with the other, I don't know, many hundreds of magicians who were storming the place. And so anyhow, it was fun. And so I think I'm just going to, because I got to get up early, wee early in the morning to take a train into Manchester, catch a flight over to Kerry, and going to just have a little R&R in Ireland for the next week. And so there will not be an episode posted this next Thursday. I'm going to take off a week for a break, so it'll be a little travel breather, as I like to call it. It's just kind of a magic breather. Crimp is there. It's a breather. And so I'm taking a travel breather. So this will just kind of be my way of saying, hey, this was a great convention. Thank you very much for joining us on these last couple of days and today with the podcast episode reports. Hope you've enjoyed them. And if you have, please share these with your friends, so this way that we can help expand the magic word. So please share the word and let other people know, because although we are most of my analytics, I show that most of the listeners and subscribers are in the U.S., there are quite a few in the U.K. as well as the rest of the world, but I'm trying to expand that to globally to more countries. So if you are here in the U.K. or wherever you are, as you're listening to this, if you'll please just share this with others, perhaps they might find some value in some of the episodes we've done that are in the archive. I highly recommend you go back and check that out then too. Goodness, this has gotten to be kind of a long episode. I'm going to shut up for now and put this to bed, and me too. And I will see you in a couple weeks. And if you go to the website, themagicwordpodcast.com, there you can subscribe to our pod letter. So this way that you know who's coming up from week to week and who's coming up next week. And also if we have contests or anything, they'll tell you about that then too. So from Blackpool, England, that's a wrap for the Blackpool Convention 2025. So until next time, this is Scotty out.